I wanted to share this morning because many years ago I was in a raise in Stellenbosch and someone came, a prophet came to pray with us and to just minister to a couple of us leaders in the raise at the time. And this lady said to me that I'm like Samuel. I remember she gave me a word and said, "You're like Samuel." And I was like, I kind of hid the word in my heart and never visited it again. And this week I heard someone mention Samuel in a prayer meeting and just how powerful he was and how the Lord really used him. And it triggered something in my life again. And I just started to read and study the first three chapters of 1 Samuel just to look at the life of Samuel and how he grew up in the presence of the Lord. Because that's what this morning is about. This morning is about the presence of the Lord. So we're going to say that a lot. So turn to someone next and say, "The presence of the Lord." I trust that when you leave this place, you will be so excited about the presence of the Lord. You would want to spend your whole life in the presence of the Lord. You would walk out of here in the presence of the Lord and stay in the presence of the Lord. Amen. And so let's look at the book of 1 Samuel, and I just want to give you some background this morning. So 1 Samuel records a time of transition in Israel's history from the judges. And if you look at the book of Judges, what is it? What is the last bit that is said in the book of Judges? The book of Judges ends like this, and it says, "And everyone did what was right in his own eyes." Everyone did what was right in his own eyes. So that's how Judges ended. So Judges wasn't very successful. The rulership of the judges wasn't really successful. It didn't seem to lead the people. And so then we come to a time of transition where the book of 1 Samuel and 2 Samuel and the book of the Kings in the Bible talks about the rule of the kings in Israel. Now God wanted him to be the ruler. God wanted to rule over the people. Amen. But the people wanted a king. The people saw the judges aren't working. And so they said, "Please God, can we have a king?" And God didn't want a king over Israel. But eventually God said, "Okay, cool, you can have your king and you can see how successful you will be under a king." And guess what? Israel wasn't very successful. Under some kings it was. Most of the kings disobeyed God. But God still allowed a king to be chosen. But you see, the best rule in this life is when God rules. Amen. I think we're seeing it in our nation. When people rule, there's chaos. Amen. The best rule is when God rules, but unfortunately God is only going to rule when he comes back a second time. When Jesus comes back a second time, then God will be fully ruling over this earth. But until then, people are in charge. And God has destined it that way. God has filled us with his Spirit and he says, I will call you to be priests and prophets unto me. But people will in charge, and obviously Satan is still in charge. Satan is the ruler of the principalities and the powers, and one day Satan will be cast away. But until then, God is not ruling fully. God is in control. God is sovereign. But God is not fully ruling. Otherwise, everyone would be saved. Amen. We'd have perfect life. We'd have heaven on earth. But until that time, God has chosen people. One day, God will put all his enemies under his feet. Isn't that going to be amazing? When all God's enemies are under his feet. And so at the time of 1 Samuel, the nation of Israel was falling away from God. Right? The nation of Israel was turning away from God. And God was busy preparing someone else to lead a nation back to him. That was the time of the judges, or the time of 1 Samuel. God was preparing someone to lead the nation back to him. And I believe in South Africa, God is busy preparing someone to lead the nation back to him. But he's not preparing one person. He's preparing a group of people. It's called the bride of Christ. The body of Christ, the church. Amen. So just keep that in the back of your minds. God is preparing us as the church to lead the nation back to him. And so the story of Samuel starts here with this man called Elkanah, who had two wives. Now, it's not a good idea, guys, to have two wives. Okay. Can I have an amen? I'm going to say that again, Jandre. It's not a good idea for a guy to have two wives. Xavier, was Xavier? Dis nie goed om twee vrouens te hê nie. Because guess what? They're just going to fight against each other. Okay, that's why God doesn't want guys to have many wives. Okay, one is a challenge enough. Okay, my wife is amazing. So it's not good to have two wives, because guess what? He had one wife and she was called Peninnah, and she bore him a lot of children. But she was fighting against the other wife, who was called Hannah. Hannah could not bear children. Hannah was barren and she didn't have any children. And so Peninnah was despising her and provoking her to the point that she became so depressed that she didn't even want to eat. So Hannah was depressed. She was like crying out to God. And that was the good thing about Hannah. Hannah took her depression to the Lord. Amen. Hannah took her barrenness to the Lord. Hannah took her frustration and her sorrow and everything to the Lord. Because every year the people would go up to the temple of the Lord. Once a year, a whole family would go up and worship and sacrifice and consecrate themselves to the Lord. And so she at this time prayed into the temple, or in the temple where Eli was sitting, and yeah, he saw her praying. And yeah, we pick up this verse in 1 Samuel 1 verse 10. And it says the following, it says, and she was in bitterness of soul, and she prayed to the Lord, and she wept in anguish. She must have been really at a bad place in her life. Let's be honest. Any woman who wants to have kids and cannot have kids, I'm sure it is very tough. Then if you've spoken to any woman who would love to have a baby because they know that is exactly what they're called for and they cannot have children, and I'm sure it must have been a tough time in Hannah's life. But I don't know if you have ever wept before the Lord in anguish. Anguish is a strong word. It talks about wailing, lamenting, mourning. I don't know if you've been to a place like this in your life where you're absolutely broken, absolutely dependent upon the Lord. But Hannah took it to God. Hannah took it to the presence of the Lord. And in this prayer, she prayed the following. She says, O Lord of hosts, if indeed you will look on the affliction of your maidservant and remember me. And not forget your maidservant, but will give your maidservant a male child. Then I will give him to the Lord all the days of his life, and no razor shall come upon his head. It's very challenging to bargain with the Lord. It's quite dangerous sometimes. You must be careful when you bargain with the Lord like this. Amen. But Hannah bargained with the Lord, and Hannah said, God, if you'll just give me a child, I want to experience what it's like to give birth. I want to experience what it's like to be a true woman and give birth to something, to a new life. So God, please just give me a child and I'll dedicate him all the days of his life. And so she asks something very specific from the Lord. She prays and she says, God, I want a male child. So she's very specific. So in our prayers, when we pray to God, it's always good to be very specific in our prayers. Amen. Sometimes we're very general and we pray like wishy-washy prayers, but we can learn from Hannah. Yeah. We can pray very specific prayers and say, God, this is what I want from you. This is what I believe I'm called for. Give me a male child and Lord, I will dedicate him to you. And so guess what? God answered her prayer. What does it mean where it says no razor shall come upon his head? I believe it's Samuel was like, he was dedicated like a Nazarite. He was not allowed to, or the Nazarites in those days did not drink wine or any strong drink. They were not allowed to cut their hair like Samson, and they were not allowed to come into contact with any corpses or graves or dead people, even if it was their family. They were basically separated unto the Lord. That's what a Nazarite means. They were separated and consecrated holy unto God. And so this is what Hannah said, Lord, I will dedicate him like a Nazarite. I will separate him unto the Lord. He's holy unto you, God. And so Eliezer, the priest, the high priest at the time, sitting in the temple, and he's watching all of this, and eventually he says to her, he says, go in peace, and the God of Israel grant your petition, which you have asked of him. In those days, the priest was like a mediator, a counselor, and he would judge as well. He would like give counsel to people. And he said, I see you're struggling, Hannah, but may it be, you've asked of God, and may it be so. Let your maidservant find favor in your sight. And so the woman went away and ate, and her face was no longer sad. Isn't that amazing? Out of the presence of the Lord, there's joy, like we heard this morning. There is joy. And they rose early in the morning, and what did they do first thing in the morning? What did they do first thing in the morning? What did they do first thing in the morning? What did they do first thing in the morning? Last time, what did they do first thing in the morning? They worshipped the Lord. Is that the first thing that you and I do in the morning when we wake up? Do we worship the Lord? No matter what our circumstances are, no matter how challenging life is, do we rise early in the morning and worship the Lord? And her sorrow was lifted, her depression was lifted. Where was it lifted? In the presence of the Lord. And so they returned to their house after they worshipped, they went back to their house at Ramah, which was quite a distance away from Shiloh. Shiloh was the place where the presence of the Lord was, that the Ark of the Covenant, the temple of the Lord. So they went their way, and then they did what God anoints a husband and a wife to do. You know, God doesn't, apart from Mary, doesn't just give birth through the angels. How does God conceive in the natural? Through a man and a woman knowing each other. And it says here, and Elkanah knew Hannah, his wife. Are there any under 18s here this morning? Any? That means sexual intimacy. Amen. So it's not like they were super spiritual and they prayed and then they, you know, put your works to your faith. Amen. Anyone struggling to have kids, then it would be good to put your works to your faith as well. Amen. So they knew each other, had sexual intimacy with each other. And the Lord remembered her. You can underline that. And the Lord remembered her. And so it came to pass in the process of time that Hannah conceived and bore a son and called his name Samuel, saying, because I have asked him from the Lord. The first thing I want to say this morning is that Samuel's conception was primarily from the presence of the Lord. Amen. Samuel's conception happened in the house of the Lord. And I'm not saying they had sex in the house of the Lord. They went back to their house. But Samuel's conception was in the presence of the Lord, where she said, God, I need you to give birth to this boy in me. Amen. It was in the presence of the Lord where Samuel was ultimately conceived. And God grants, you know, God closed the womb. The Bible says God closed the womb and God can open a womb. Amen. God is sovereign. God is in control. Why did God close the womb? I don't know. Why couldn't she have children? I don't know. I believe for the glory of God. I believe God wanted her to get on her knees, to worship him, and to trust him to give birth through her. Samuel's conception for me can be likened to someone being born again. Isn't that amazing? I believe God is asking us at this time, just like with Hannah, is to really cry out for people to be born again. Because it sometimes seems like it's a struggle for people to be born again, generally. It seems like there's a battle on, and it's almost like the womb of this country and just the nations of the world is closed for people being born. I'm not saying people aren't being born again. People are being saved. But God wants to open wombs that many, many people are born again. Amen. But I believe the church, God is calling us to weep and to cry like Hannah and say, God, give us specific stuff. Give me a male child. Give me a female child. Give me someone to be born again. But it happens in the spirit, and then it happens in the natural. Then we must go out and tell people the gospel. God doesn't just get people saved, you know, just randomly. Yes, it does happen, but God gives us the gospel to preach. And so we can give birth to people in with the tools that we've been given. Through evangelists primarily. Amen. Evangelists have the gift to get people to be born again. And they're in this room, yeah, there are some evangelists. You have been called to get people to make a decision and to convert, like Angus Buchan and like some other legends in the past, Reinhard Bonnke, who have got people to a point of conversion. But evangelism will not happen without prayer. And Reinhard Bonnke, one of the greatest evangelists, said it. Evangelism without prayer is like a bomb without the detonator. That bomb cannot go off if it hasn't been birthed in prayer. And Samuel's conception, Hannah's prayer, I believe is speaking to us as a church, to are we on our knees? Are we giving birth to newborn babies in the spirit? And it's a challenge for me, because how often do we cry out for the lost? How often do we cry for sons and daughters to be born again into the kingdom of God? So I'm leaving that challenge with us this morning, but it's only going to happen in the presence of the Lord. It's only going to happen when God gives us a desire to start to pray. And so we started on a Thursday night. Practically, we're praying for our missions. So you join us at our house, 7:30 to 8:30 on a Thursday night at our house. We are praying, all our missions guys that are going out on mission, we're praying for the lost to be saved. And for us as the laborers to keep going out to reach the lost. Amen. But to be on our knees like Hannah was and to say, Lord, I cannot do this, God. I'm barren. But through your spirit, Lord, I can give birth to many things. Through your spirit, through your presence. And it's only going to happen in the presence of the Lord. And I believe people will be born again in the presence of the Lord. It cannot happen otherwise. But in the presence of God, mighty things can happen. So that's Samuel's conception. And then we go on. So now Samuel is born. And it says, now when she had weaned him, She took him up with her with three bulls, an ephah of flour, and a skin of wine, and brought him to the house of the Lord in Shiloh, and the child was young. The commentators are not exactly sure as to when Samuel was weaned, but I believe he must have been very young. He must have been about 3 or 4 years old. Some commentators say it's a bit later, can't be much earlier, because he had to obviously be nursed by his mom and drink the breast milk that he had to drink and come to a place where he was able to, you know, just start to understand things. Maybe he was a bit older. I don't know. It's not exactly sure and it's not clear, and I believe we don't have to know exactly when it happened. The fact is it must have been massively challenging for a mother to dedicate a child to the Lord. Wouldn't you agree? To give a child away, whether they were 8 years old, 7 years old, 3 years old, the older they are, the worse it gets to give them away. But for Hannah, it must have been incredibly challenging to say, God, okay, I'm not going to go back on my promise. I'm going to give this child to you for the rest of his life. We're the moms in the house here this morning. My wife, Marguerite's going to be a mom soon. Who else? I don't want to speak something over people. Haley's going to be a mom soon. Lisa, some other people, if I missed anyone. And Gerda. I mean, just think of your children. The other moms to be won't understand it because they haven't had children yet. But think of giving your child away at the age of 3 or 4 or 5 years old. Like, you're going to see them once a year. Because she came back once a year, we'll see now. But it must have been difficult, and it required God's supernatural sustenance, because after this she worshipped. She wasn't sad. She wrote one of the most amazing worship songs in 1 Samuel chapter 2. Go and read that. We're not going to look at that this morning. But she worshipped like we're doing this morning. And she brought her son to the house of the Lord. Once again, the house of the Lord. And they slaughtered a bull and they brought the child to Eli. And she said, "Oh my Lord, as your soul lives, I am the woman who stood by you, yeah, praying to the Lord. For this child I have prayed, and the Lord has granted me my petition which I asked of him. Therefore I also have lent him to the Lord." And so they worshipped the Lord there. There's a lot of praying going on. There was a lot of worship going on in this passage. There was a lot of the presence of the Lord going on in this passage. Can I have an amen? But you see, how many times do we pray for the provision? We pray for the breakthrough, and then the breakthrough and the provision become the thing that we worship. Instead of worshiping the one who provides the breakthrough, the miracle worker who does the miracles. And we start to worship the miracles themselves. Even, you know, you can get healed and you start to worship the healing instead of the healer. And this is what this passage is trying to tell us, that God wants us to worship him and he wants us to dedicate our whole lives to him. So Samuel's dedication is the second thing that comes out and pops out to me in this passage. Samuel's dedication happened where? In the house of the Lord, in the presence of the Lord. What is Samuel's dedication likened to? His dedication is likened to someone being baptized. Amen. His conception is likened to someone being born again. His dedication is likened to someone being baptized. And I was so blessed last week to see Jonathan and Hansi, and who else was baptized last week? It's just the two of them. And Motsamai. And you know what the testimony was? Is that I want to hear the Lord's voice more clearly. I want to be more intimate with God. I want to give my life to the Lord. Baptism is when you give yourself to the Lord completely, when you say, "Lord, I'm going to dedicate my whole life, not just part of my life." Because many times when we get born again, when we say a prayer and we get led to the Lord by someone, we sort of, "Yeah, Lord, I'll give you my heart, you know, take my sin away." But do we really say, "Lord, yes, my whole life"? And baptism is a symbol of that. And sometimes we can backslide. Sometimes we can go back on our promises. But baptism is the promise that we make to dedicate ourselves to the work of the Lord, to dedicate ourselves for our whole lives and say, "Lord, I'm going under that water. I'm going to be immersed in water. I'm giving my whole life, Lord. I'm going to be wet." You know, some people, like, when the water's a bit cold, they're like, "Lord, I'll just baptize myself up to here." You know, like, my chest can't take it. You know, like, it's a bit cold on my face. No, the Lord says, Complete surrender. And so Hannah had to give her child completely to the Lord, not just to give him one day a week, but to say, "Lord, he's yours, and I'm only going to come and visit him. He can't even live in my house. He's going to live in your presence, the presence of the Lord, the house of the Lord." Samuel's dedication. Powerful encounter. And And so Hannah sings this worship song. She worships the Lord. They go back and it says here, then Elkanah went to his house at Ramah. But there's a contrast here. The Bible is wonderful. When you understand languages, you start to see the contrasts. His father went to his house, but the child ministered where? In his spiritual house, his new home, the house of the Lord. Samuel's father goes back to his house, but Samuel is in his new house, the house of the Lord. And it's interesting that he uses the word minister here. He ministered to the Lord. What does the word minister mean? And we honored people last week that ministered to the Lord. It's called serving. Samuel understood serving. You see, I believe your dedication to the Lord is reflected in one thing. I really believe this. It's not like this sentence doesn't stand in the Bible, but it's very clear in the Bible. Your dedication to the Lord is reflected in one thing, how you serve the Lord. Amen. Your dedication to the Lord is reflected in how you serve the Lord. It's not about a feeling. It's not about the circumstances. It's a commitment to the Lord. And I'm thankful for this church. Many years back, this church taught me to be unselfish and to start to serve. And I had to be encouraged at times. You know, I wasn't always like keen to like just... But when the Spirit of the Lord came upon me and people were around me to challenge me, that I learned how to serve. Amen. And I had to be nudged into the deep end at times. I had to be told, you know, you can pray for people. You can minister to people. And when I started to minister, I experienced the power of God. When I started to be an usher at the door, I experienced the power of God. When I started to just pack chairs for church, I experienced the power of God. I experienced that I'm really dedicated to the Lord and I love this. It's not difficult to do this. It's like I want to. In fact, it was a challenge for me when I was working in the marketplace because I wanted to spend more of my time at church and in the house of the Lord than I wanted to do at work. But I had to work from 8 to 5, so I did my work excellently because God said, work to the best of your ability and I'll promote you. But you know, when I was at work, I was like, I was just wanting to do work for the church. Still went to the pastor at the time and said, can I not work for the church? He says, no, you carry on with your job. You'll work for the church in due course. But there was this passion in me for the house of God, and so I became an usher, and I loved to stand at the door welcoming people into the house of the Lord, because that was like, this is my calling, Lord. I can die now. I'm happy to do this. I love serving. And your dedication to the Lord is reflected in how you serve, and many times our attitude even in how we serve, we must look at that. Because sometimes we can be serving from a slave mentality. We can be serving from, oh, this is so hard. There's so much to do. Or we can say, you know what, Lord, it's a joy to pack our chairs. It's a joy to set up stuff. It's a joy to come to Jim Fushier and build the house of the Lord. And then we break it down again every Sunday. Only joking. But it's about building people, amen. It's not about building stuff. The stuff is just for the people. But Samuel understood ministry. And he was a young man, a young little boy, and he understood he's got to serve in the Lord's house. He wants to. He's there to serve. But it's interesting, Samuel didn't serve alone. Samuel had a mentor in Eli. And now it says here, there's another contrast here. Now the sons of Eli were corrupt. They did not know the Lord. Amazing contrast between Samuel, who's knowing the Lord, is hearing, and he's serving in the Lord's house. And yeah, there's the prophet's sons or the priest's sons are supposed to be serving in the house of the Lord. They don't even know the Lord. What did they do? They took meat offered by the people. They even slept with a woman serving in the temple. They were terrible sons, Hophni and Phinehas. They were terrible. They totally disregarded the holy things of the Lord. And it says, therefore, the sin of the young men was very great before the Lord, for the Lord abhorred the offering, for men abhorred the offering of the Lord. And then another contrast, but Samuel ministered before the Lord, even as a child, wearing a linen ephod. Moreover, his mother used to make him a little robe and bring it to him year by year when she came up with her husband to offer the yearly sacrifice. The wearing of the linen simply meant, or the linen ephod meant, that he was a priest in training. He was a minister in training. He understood serving. And what's amazing is that his mother also looked after him. Once a year she came and she still cared for him, and she still was excited that Samuel grows in the house of the Lord, and Samuel is discipled in his relationship with the Lord. And so she did what she could. And Eli would bless Elkanah and his wife and say, the Lord give you descendants from this woman for the loan that was given to the Lord. And then they would go to their own home, and guess what? The Lord visited Hannah again, and she conceived and bore 3 sons and 2 daughters. How awesome is that? From not being able to conceive to being able to have 6 children, one of them completely dedicated to the Lord, the firstborn. Speaks about the first fruits, dedicating our first fruits to the Lord. Meanwhile, the child Samuel grew before the Lord. Elkanah and Hannah were blessed because they dedicated to the Lord. God blessed them, and Samuel grew. Where did he grow? Where did he grow? In the presence of the Lord. Where are you going to grow the most? In fact, where's the only place that you're going to grow? In the presence of the Lord. I believe you're going to grow when you have quiet time with God. I believe you're going to grow when you worship. You know, every Sunday we are growing. When we're singing these songs, thank you, Benny, yours, you guys. You guys help us to see the presence of the Lord and to see God in a greater way. You help us to grow a little bit by at a time. Anyone feel that this morning? You feel you loved the Lord more after these guys helped us to live? It's not like them. God's just using them. It's God's goodness. You're going to grow this morning through this word, through the word of the God, you're going to grow, but you're not going to grow if it's not the presence of the Lord. You're going to grow when you serve. I've grown the most when I've laid down my life and said, God, I'm stretched now. It's not always feeling nice. And just like Peter said, that the truth is not going to feel nice. But all of us need to grow. Anyone here doesn't need to grow, because then you're welcome to leave, because you don't need church. I think everyone needs to grow. Whether you've been with the Lord for 100 years or 10 years or 20 years, you need to grow. And I believe some people here this morning, God really wants you to grow again. You've maybe come to a place where you're a bit stagnant. You feel like, yes, I've reached the ceiling. God says, that's not me. I'm not your ceiling. And you're not your ceiling either. Just tell the devil to go. He's trying to keep you limited. You can grow. You can grow to the next level. But Samuel's growth happened in the presence of the Lord. It says it about 5 times. It said, and the child Samuel grew. But growth happens when we serve. And it says, if one man sins against another, God will judge him. But if man sins against the Lord, who will intercede for him? Talking about the terrible stuff that the sons of Eli did. Nevertheless, they did not heed the voice of their father because the Lord desired to kill them. And the child Samuel grew in stature and in favor with both the Lord and with men. The sons of Eli did not even heed their father's voice. Ultimately, they never even knew the voice of the Lord. Isn't that sad? That's why children need to hear the voice of their parents so that they can hear the voice of God one day. Amen. Ish, parents. We need to hear that. We need to help people to know our voices so that they can start to know the voice of the Lord. So make sure your voice is God's voice. Sometimes our voices to our kids aren't God's voice, and we're angry and we're frustrated and we're not speaking life, but God's got grace for that. But the sons of Eli didn't even hear God's voice, but guess who did start to hear God's voice? The boy Samuel. And it says he grew. Doesn't that sound a lot like Luke 2 verse 52? Anyone know Luke 2 verse 52? Turn to your Bibles quickly. Those of you who've got Bibles, what does it say in Luke 2 verse 52? We need to get to know our scriptures, I mean, our Bibles. It talks about Jesus. Quickly, find it. Luke 2 verse 52 and says, guess who grew? Very much like Samuel. He grew in favor with God and with men. He grew in stature and he grew in wisdom. The boy Jesus Christ. Isn't that a bit of a picture of what's to come? There's another boy who's going to grow. Just like Samuel, his name is Jesus. He's going to be the Savior. He's going to be perfect. He's going to be ultimate. But for now, Samuel is the man. Samuel is the chosen man. And Samuel had to count the cost. He had to get out of his comfort zone. He couldn't grow in his father's house. He was dedicated to the house of the Lord. And so Samuel's growth happened in the house of the Lord, in the presence of the Lord. But Samuel's growth can be likened to us as growing as disciples. And that's what we as a church are about. That is our mission, is to make disciples. Can I have an amen? That is our vision, is to plant churches, to grow, to change Bloemfontein, to change the nations. But guess where it starts? It starts by making exactly what Peter shared this morning. Thanks for your obedience, Peter. To make disciples. And our growth is very similar to Samuel's growth. We can grow quickly or we can grow slowly. It all depends on how close you are to the presence of the Lord. Amen. Growth happens when we serve and when we apply what we have been taught. Amen. How many times do we grow or don't grow because we don't apply what we've taught? We've got a lot of knowledge. And I think the danger in the body of Christ in the day and age that we live in is we have so much knowledge. We have so many internet email sermons and YouTube clips, and we feed ourselves a lot with knowledge. But we don't grow in wisdom. Wow, what is wisdom? It's applied knowledge. Knowledge applied. It's applying what you've been taught, and that is what Samuel did. Samuel served, and he must have grown in the word of the Lord and grown in incredible ways. It doesn't tell us exactly how he grew, but it just says he grew. And I believe the most powerful thing that Samuel grew in was one thing, and that was recognizing the voice of the Father. So interesting. It says the sons of Eli did not recognize the voice of their natural father, let alone their spiritual father. And God wants us to recognize ultimately the voice of him. And that is discipleship. Discipleship simply is growing in recognizing the voice of the Lord. That is what discipleship isn't, a lot of knowledge. Discipleship isn't just sitting in discipleship groups discussing scripture and all of that. That is good and that is part of it. But if you're not growing in hearing the voice of the Lord and in being in tune with the voice, you're not a disciple. Amen. It's a bit tough, eh? Because we tick our box and say we're a disciple when we've gone through a few materials, we've gone to cell group, attended church and all of that. And if that's not helping you to grow in hearing God's voice, then we're missing it. And I want to thank the band. The band is helping us to really hear God's voice through the songs, through the ministry. Hopefully my teaching and the preaching is helping you to hear the voice of the Lord more. Hopefully your cell group leader and the people around you on speaking into your life are helping you to hear the voice of the Lord more. And sometimes it will be a tough word. Sometimes it will be a bit of a rebuke, you know. That's not God's voice. And you need to be open to that. Because not all of us are hearing God's voice clearly. So we need people in our lives. We need an Eli in our life. So Samuel's growth was the third thing. Then the last thing this morning. Chapter 3 starts and says, now the boy Samuel ministered to the Lord. Again, just continues to repeat this thing over and over again. I believe it's important. If God says something more than twice, it's very important. Now the boy Samuel ministered to the Lord before Eli. Yeah, Samuel is about 12 years old. The word of the Lord was rare in those days. There was no widespread revelation. Tell someone next to you, no widespread revelation. Don't you think that sounds a bit like the times we're living in? There's a lot of other revelations, amen. There's a lot of other revelations. Just look at Facebook. There's amazing revelations. Go look at the internet. There's awesome stuff. People have got opinions. There's awesome stuff, but there's no widespread revelation about the word of the Lord. Not always. And I believe the widespread revelation refers to a hunger and an openness to the presence and the voice of God. Because there will be revelation if there's an hunger, hunger for God. There'll be revelation if you're hungry for God and you come to his presence and you'll hear him. I tell you, every Sunday you'll hear God's voice here. I believe it. But if you're not hungry, you won't hear. If you come to church, ugh, that stupid guy preaching again, he's not going to tell me anything. Then you definitely won't hear the voice of the Lord. But if you're open, if you're hungry to be in the presence of God, you will receive revelation. But it says there was no widespread revelation, and so God was busy raising up someone who would bring revelation about who he was. And it came to pass at that time, while Eli was lying down in his place and his eyes had begun to grow so dim, he was so old, he needed to pass on. There needed to be a change. Eli was so old, it was time for someone new. And his eyes began to grow dim that he could not see. And before the lamp of God went out in the tabernacle of the Lord, where the ark of God was. Isn't that interesting? The ark of the Lord is mentioned here very specifically. What does the ark of the Lord refer to? Can I have it loudly? What does the ark of the Lord refer to? The presence of the Lord. Everything starts from the presence of the Lord. Amen. And Samuel is lying down, so he's obviously sleeping. So the Lord calls to Samuel, and he answers, he says, here I am. So he runs to Eli, and he says, here I am, you called me. He says, I didn't call you, lie down again. So he went and lay down again. See, I believe the Lord started to call Samuel because he was trained and discipled in hearing the voice of the Lord. He didn't quite recognize that it was the Lord, but I mean, Would you, if there was an audible voice in your house right now, as a disciple of Christ, as someone who's growing in Christ, would you think straight away it's the Lord? Maybe not. You would think, who's my neighbor shouting at now? Is it me? Is it you, God? I think it's quite scary if the Lord speaks audibly to you. And if he does, praise him. But I loved what they shared at their baptisms last week, the three people, is they shared one thing and they said they wanted to hear God's voice. And God ultimately wants us to hear his voice. And so Samuel goes on, and three times it happens, and Eli is starting to realize. He says, okay, well, this guy's, I think the Lord is speaking to him. Fortunately, Eli didn't get all self-righteous and think, why isn't God speaking to me? So he just realized God wants to start to raise up a new priest. So he said to Samuel, he says, just go lie down, and if God calls you the fourth time, then you must say, speak, Lord, for your servant hears. Isn't it amazing? Eli trained Samuel not only to recognize God's voice, but how to respond to God's voice. It's easy to recognize his voice sometimes, but how do we respond to God's voice? So how do you respond to God's voice? You do what Eli told Samuel. Number one, speak. In other words, you tell God, when you sense that God is speaking, you say, God, God, speak. Or when you sense God calling you, yours. Emil, Hester, Marguerite, Christu, Enzo. When you sense God using your name and he's getting your attention like he did with Moses at the burning bush, he got his attention, then what do you do to God? You don't just take it casually. You stop and then you say, speak, Lord. So the first thing is you give the Lord the go-ahead to speak, because God is a gentleman. He'll touch you on the shoulder and just say, Hester, I want to say something to Alistair. I want to say something to you. But if you're not listening, he's not going to say it to you. He doesn't cast his pearls before swine. He doesn't just chuck out stuff there. His word is holy. So he'll tap you on the shoulder. The spirit will just, like that little bird sitting on the shoulder, you know, the devil sits here, which I don't know which side, God sits, the angel, the devil, you know, and then there's voices talking to you. So you start to recognize who's the devil, who's your own criticism, who's your people that hate you and criticize you, and who's God who's saying something to you. So he'll tap you on the shoulder, and then you need to say, speak, Lord. I give you the right to speak into my life. Secondly, you need to say, Lord, I acknowledge it's you, Lord. Lord, you're Lord. Not just my buddy or some old oak out there. Oh, you're up there with a stick. You're going to hit me over the head now. No, you're Lord. You're Lord of Lords, King of Kings. And you actually want to speak to me. You love me. You're amazing. And you say, for I'm hearing, Lord, I'm listening. I'm ready to listen. So three things. Give the Lord the go-ahead to speak. Secondly, acknowledge him as Lord. And then thirdly, say that you're ready and willing to listen. So it takes a bit of time. Amen. Can't just do it while you're thinking about your studies and you're rushing around and like, oh, Lord, speak to me quickly. Put on a CD there. I'm driving. I'm focused. Maybe you can speak to me, Lord. No, he says, just respond to God. And then guess what? It says, now the Lord came and stood. Hectic. How did that happen? The Lord comes and he stands right next to Samuel's bed. I believe he came by his spirit. Right there. His presence was so powerful that Samuel, who wrote this, must have like felt a real presence in the house. Right next to his bed. And he said to him, Samuel, Samuel. Speak, for your servant hears, Samuel says. He obeys what Eli told him, and he hears the voice of the Lord, and the Lord says to him, behold, I will do something in Israel at which both ears of everyone who hears it will tingle. In that day I will perform against Eli all that I have spoken concerning his house from beginning to end. Very sad. God said there's no repentance. Even sacrifices, even the most biggest offerings are not going to appease the sons of Eli. They're gone. Nothing can redeem them now. Their hearts are so hardened. And Eli recognized Samuel is the next prophet. And so Samuel told him, Samuel thought, I'm not going to tell this to, how can I tell this to the high priest? How can I tell this to my disciple maker, the guy who's helped me become a disciple? How can I tell him he's like, his sons are going to be wiped out? And Eli says to him, you better tell me everything. And Samuel told him everything, and he hid nothing from him, and he said, It is the Lord. Let him do what seems good to him. And so Eli recognized God has spoken. And there's a change of guard here. There's an ushering in of a new leader who understands the presence of the Lord, who understands the holy things of God. And listen to what verse 19 says. So Samuel grew yet again. It seems like this guy doesn't stop growing. Anyone here think you're going to stop growing all the days of your life? You're never going to stop. Isn't that good news? Isn't it nice to grow in Jesus, to grow in Christ likeness? So Samuel grew, and guess what? The Lord was with him. That's the life I want to live. I want to live a life of growing. I want to live where the Lord is with me. And you know what? I want to live a life where not one of my words fall to the ground. Anyone want that? Imagine you growing up as a spokesperson for the Lord, and not one of the words you speak fall to the ground. Not one. But how many idle words do we speak many times? How many stuff do we think we even prophesy and we say stuff, and some of them have to fall to the ground. Praise Jesus that he protects people and us from our words. Many of our words do fall to the ground, but the Bible says that none of the words that Samuel spoke were empty. None of them were idle words. They were all from the Lord. That's quite powerful growth, wouldn't you agree? And it ends off like this, and it says, and all Israel from Dan to Beersheba knew that Samuel had been established as a prophet of the Lord. And then the Lord appeared again in Shiloh, for the Lord revealed himself to Samuel in Shiloh by the word of the Lord. The last thing that I've mentioned here this morning is Samuel's calling. How did Samuel's calling happen? It happened in the house of the Lord. It happened again in the presence of the Lord. Samuel's conception happened in the presence of the Lord. Samuel's dedication happened in the presence of the Lord. And it's wonderful when we dedicate our babies to the Lord. It's wonderful when people bring their children to the Lord. And we'll do it this year or next year, hopefully with all the babies being born. I'm trusting that we dedicate our kids again to the Lord. Amen. But Samuel was dedicated away in the presence of the Lord, and Samuel's growth happened in the presence of the Lord, and Samuel's calling happened right in the house of the Lord, right where the Ark of the Covenant was. Samuel's calling can be likened for us to whether you've been called for ministry, maybe, because I remember my calling, and it didn't happen like on one night like this. But I remember God started to call me and said, I want you to be in the ministry. I thought I was going to do something else for the Lord. The Lord really said, I want you to be in the ministry. And so I believe that there's some people in this room this morning. I really believe God is busy preparing you for full-time ministry. I really believe God has got a calling on certain people's lives. Not everyone is called for full-time ministry. But guess what you've been called for if you're in the full-time ministry? You're called to equip people. That's it. You're not going to actually get the shine. Us as pastors and church leaders, we shouldn't be getting the shine. We should be we equipping other people to get the shine. Not that people should be getting the shine, but God will get the glory. But so we shouldn't be taking the lead in that way. We should be just equipping people. And that's my, I know I've been called for ministry because it's such a joy for me every time we send people out at the end of the year, like we did last Wednesday evening. It's such a joy. And there were a lot of tears, and it wasn't always nice. But that's what we've been called for. Hester and I are like, we want to send people that are equipped. We don't want to send people that aren't equipped, because then we didn't do a good job. But hopefully people will be equipped that we can send out. But we love to equip people. I love to equip people. And so there's some people here, you've been called for full-time ministry. It could be 5 years, 10 years, 20 years. But I know there's a little bit of a stirring right now in your heart. And you're not clear about it, it's fine. Just let it stay there. For other people, you're called for business. You're called to fund businesses and make money for the kingdom of God. That's your calling. But hear the calling of the Lord. Some people are called for sport. Some people are called to be entrepreneurs. Some people are called to be CEOs of huge companies, whatever. Some people are called for the hospitals, doctors, nurses. That's your calling. But have you heard the Lord's calling? Do you know what you've been called for? Samuel knew what he was called for. Do you know what you're called for? Few people have been called for ministry. Lots of people have been called for the marketplace. But there's a specific calling on your life for the marketplace. Some people are prophets. You're going to be you cannot take it when wrong is done. You're going to speak the word of God. Some people are called for justice and for activism. You cannot take it that things are, you're a person who likes justice and righteousness. So you're called for the marketplace. You're called to be an activist and to stand up for the truth. And you might be the most unpopular person. Tough, but it's your calling. I don't know what your calling is, but the Lord wants to call you for something very specific. But I believe all of us have been called to be the voice of God. Amen. In some way. Maybe you're prophetic and you'll really speak the word of God. Maybe you just, your presence there brings change because you represent God, Christ in you, the hope of glory. But I believe like Samuel, we're all called to be the voice of God. We're all called to speak. And some of us need to be more bold to speak. Some of us need to speak less because we're speaking lots of idle words. We're good at speaking and we speak lots of stuff, but it's not always from God. Some people, you need to get over your fear of man and your shyness and start to speak the word of God. But just like Samuel, I believe God is preparing his people, his church. It's not going to be one person. It's going to be the bride of Christ, that one bride, that beautiful bride consisting of all tribes, all tongues, all nations, all people. And he's preparing us, the church, to lead a nation, this nation, and nations back to him. Isn't that exciting? And he's doing it by his Holy Spirit, guys. He's doing it by his presence in each of us. And I want the band to come forward this morning as we finish off. God is calling us by his Spirit. He's doing this by his Spirit. It represents his presence in us. God's presence represents his promises. It represents his provision. See, God is up to something. Amen. I've got a friend, a pastor friend in the ministry, and he talks about our good father is always up to something, and he calls him Jehovah Sneaky. Ever heard of that? You've heard of all the other Jehovahs, but this friend of mine is such a lucky guy, always making jokes, such a guy full of joy, but so in tune with the Lord, and he calls him Jehovah Sneaky. Jehovah Sneaky is up to stuff. Not in a disrespectful sense, but in a sense that we don't always know what God is up to. Amen. But he's up to something. God is up to something. And he's doing it by his Holy Spirit. His presence, the house of the Lord, represents God's promises, represents his provision. I want to say this morning, there's provision in the house of the Lord. There's provision and there's promises. There's the voice of the Lord is available in the house of the Lord, in his presence. And where is his presence? His presence is in you. Amen. If you've been filled with his Holy Spirit. The temple is now walking around or now inside of us. The Ark of the Covenant is inside of us by His Spirit. And when we get together, it's like, it's awesome to come together. This morning felt like there was like hundreds of people here. Because God isn't limited by numbers of people. God is like just wanting us to come together in unity. And the more unity there is, His Word says He commands a blessing. So I want us to just close our eyes now this morning and just recognize his presence in this place, first of all. So why don't you close your eyes right now? Just recognize that he's here. Thank you, Lord Jesus, for your presence in this place. Thank you, Lord, that Samuel's life represents your presence, Lord. It represents, Lord, a life that was consecrated and dedicated from such a young age. Even before he was born, Lord, you conceived him, Lord, by your Spirit. You opened Anna's womb by your Spirit, Lord. You gave their family a choice whether they're going to dedicate this boy or not. Because, Lord, she didn't have to do it. You knew how tough it must have been for Hannah to dedicate this son, Lord. And you gave her the option, Lord. If she had gone back on your promises, you would have forgiven her, Lord. But thank you, Lord, that she gave him to you. Thank you that Samuel became such a legend in the transition in the history of Israel, Lord. But thank you for his life, that we can learn from an imperfect person's life. And how you used him, Lord, all the days of his life, not one word fell to the ground, Lord. People were trembling in his presence. Because he was filled with you, Lord. And I thank you that he was dedicated. I thank you, Lord, that he grew. And the Lord, he heard your voice as a prophet to Israel. Thank you, Lord, that in this place, Lord, right now, your presence is moving, God. Your spirit is moving, God. I believe the Lord wants to speak to very specific people here this morning. So I want you to just be very bold and to raise your hand. If you're here this morning and you need to be conceived by the Spirit of God, you haven't been born again, you don't know Jesus as your Lord and Savior, then this morning the presence of the Lord is here to give birth as you give him the freedom to do so. Because he won't say you're now born again. He wants you to believe, to repent of your sin, to acknowledge that you're a sinner. So is there anyone here this morning, you really believe today you need to be born again, you need to be conceived, just like Samuel was in the natural, you need to be conceived in the spirit, you need to be born again. Is there anyone, you don't know Jesus Christ, and you want to give your life to the Lord afresh? Maybe you've backslidden, maybe you've walked away from God, and you just want God to soften your heart this morning. You want to repent of your sin and say, Lord, take my life again. Is there anyone like that? You want to be born again by the Spirit this morning? Just raise your hand if that's you. And then, in conjunction with that, maybe you are born again, but you need to be dedicated to the Lord. You have not been baptized in water. Then today, after the service, there's an opportunity, but you need to be born again first. But maybe you're born again today, and you need to be baptized in water. You realize you need to make that choice to say, I give you everything. Lord, I surrender. I want to go right under that water. I don't want to be christened or sprinkled or anything. Lord, I want to go under the water as a sign of my complete surrender, my dying to myself, Lord, because the flesh is going to want to rule. The flesh is going to want to do stuff. But Lord, I want to say, I want to be in your presence every day. I want to be like Samuel. I want to remove myself from the natural. I want to walk in the supernatural. Because that's what God said to Samuel. Samuel, you can stay in the natural, but you're never going to fulfill my promises. You're never going to fulfill what I've called you for. You need to be in the supernatural. And that's what the house of the Lord represents. That's what the presence of the Lord represents, the supernatural. So if you need to be baptized in water, I want you to just raise your hand as a symbol and say, that's me. Obviously, we'll do the baptism afterwards. But is there anyone that you want to be baptized and dedicated to the Lord afresh? Because that's your dedication. It's your baptism. Maybe you're too shy, then come speak to me afterwards. And then there's a third group of people. You need to, and that's the third point I made. You really need to grow. You're struggling to grow as a disciple of Jesus Christ. You feel you've hit a wall. You feel you know the Lord. You've been baptized. You've been filled with the Holy Spirit. But you're struggling to grow as a disciple. You feel isolated, you feel alone, you feel like you're not connected to the body of Christ, you're not connected anywhere, then the Lord wants you to grow. So can I see, are there any hands that just recognize that, the Lord speaking to you about that specifically, about your growth this morning? Thanks for your honesty. Is there anyone else? And then lastly, now, I'm not going to call you forward for this, but I want you to be open to the Lord starting to say to you, Samuel, Samuel, I'm calling you for something very specific. Samuel, Samuel, this is my voice. Lord, I thank you right now that you are busy calling people, or there's certain people that have been called to full-time ministry, Lord, and you know who they are, Lord. And I just leave that seed, Lord, which I believe you want to plant right now, Lord. Certain people are called for the ministry. And thank you, Lord, that you just plant that seed right now and you start to confirm it in the next while. Lord, there's some people here that have been called for business, but they're not sure. Why have they been blessed with so many finances? Why have they been blessed financially, Lord? And you're saying they must give. They must start kingdom businesses. They must fund kingdom initiatives, Lord. Thank you for that calling right now, Lord. Thank you for sports people here, Lord. Thank you for marketplace ministers. Thank you for the arts and the culture, Lord. Media. Lawyers, doctors, Lord. Physios, occupational therapists. Lord, you've called people very specifically for specific careers and vocations, Lord, but your calling is that they are like Samuel, that be the prophetic voice. Some people are called to be activists, Lord. They're called to, Lord, stand up where there's injustice, Lord. Stand up for this nation, God. Stand in the between the living and the dead, Lord. You've called us to be priests and kings unto you, Lord. And so thank you for the priests, Lord. Thank you for the kings. Thank you for the prophets. Thank you for the judges. That you anoint by your spirit, that Samuel represented all three of those, Lord. He represented the judge, the priest, and the prophet, Lord. And he anointed kings, God. And so thank you for us as a church, Lord, that you call us also to be priests, prophets, kings, and judges in Jesus Christ and by your spirit, Lord, to stand between the living and the dead, to stand between wicked and good, Lord. I just speak over some people, yeah, you're going to have to stand between the evil and good. And it's not between people. Stop fighting people. There's some people, yeah, you're really struggling with people. You're wrestling with people. They've done you in and there's just been injustice. But the Lord says stand between good and evil. Don't fight with people. Your battle isn't against flesh and blood. It's against principalities and powers. But God has called you to stand between good and evil. And you need to make a stand for good. You need to stop the evil from prevailing. You need to stand for good. In your business specifically. In your classroom. The Lord has called some people to stand up as a spokesperson. To say this evil stops in Jesus' name. Do it in love and don't, there's always salvation for people. People can always be saved. Don't write people off, but stand up in the spirit for what is going down, for what is wrong. Stand up for what's right.